Today on RCN Sports Talk, a look at the current NFL season at the midway point and analysis of college and scholastic football. Previews of all of our local teams' playoff games this weekend with our players to watch, keys to victory, and the all-important predictions. A recap of the top teams, games, and players from the high school football regular season and highlights from last week's high school football action in the DMV region. These topics and more on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk, brought to you by the Vinart Dealership, your Lehigh Valley Acura Honda Hyundai dealer.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael, so glad you could be with us on this Thursday evening. A lot of great topics coming up on tonight's program, but first we introduce the co-host of the RCN Sports Talk show and the man who is fresh off his appearance as the moderator for one of the presidential primaries debates seen on another network recently, Mr. Joseph Linwood Craig. Joe, how did that endeavor go?
Well, first of all, those that know me know I am I'm a liberal through and through, so they know I wouldn't be doing any of those debates.
I'm not getting political here.
I did those debates, I'd be one of the guys they'd probably be attacking because he was biased.
Well, yeah,
so I don't. Politics, I don't even deal with anymore, Chris. I'm out of it.
You do all the time before we come on the air.
No more. How you doing, Chris?
I thought you had to be because I heard that one of the moderators was rude, unfair, and didn't have his facts
straight.
So you
figured it was me.
That's exactly what you do here on this program.
Before
we introduce our studio guest, a quick note. We were hoping to have a Redskins defensive lineman, Terrence Knighton, on to talk about Washington football, and also he's a Temple alum, so
yes.
I know he's very proud of the Owls.
And you are a Temple.
Well, he's
alum.
A much more prominent, he's a much more prominent Temple
not in the Lehigh Valley,
graduate than I. Well, I think so. Anyway, as Skins fans know, Terrence has been battling cluster headaches for a while, so he cannot be with us. We hope to have him on a future edition of Sports Talk, and of course, the Redskins right now are just hoping he gets healthy so that he can play on Sunday. So. We're going to introduce our studio guest here, not quite a Temple alum, but still very prominent here in the RCN Empire. In fact, he is the star of the A Crew, Mr. Mike Joseph.
Gary, they didn't mean it. They didn't
No,
mean
no,
it.
I said it last week because Gary was here last week, and next week Tony Koch is going to be here. So each week I'll say you're the star of the A Crew, and that way I'm covered and can
you're
keep my job for another couple months.
Well, it's great to be here. It's going to be an interesting week. We got some great football, some great topics to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll start right in with a football question as our tip-off question tonight. How would you rate the high school football season, the college football season so far, and also the NFL season? We're at the halfway point. What's your estimate? What are your analysis of all three of those levels of football so far? Mike, we'll start off with you.
Well, the NFL season has been a lot of parity there. There's some good teams at the top. There's obviously, the Patriots, very good football team, and I'm surprised by the Carolina Panthers, but they're playing well. They're getting, it just seems if you have a quarterback, you got a team. If you don't have a quarterback, obviously, you're going to struggle. So the NFL has been fun to watch this year. The NCAA, I mean, they're all over the place. How Clemson's number one, I'll take a stand right away. How Clemson's number one, I don't understand that at all. You got teams like Oklahoma State who have a chance to win out and go undefeated in the Big Ten, and the ACC's never been a strong, strong football league. So how they're number one, I'm not quite sure. Alabama sneaks in there, and so that's. But it's been a very interesting season, all the way down through the FCS level, and our Patriot League teams have been very competitive this year as well. So, and the high school has been fantastic. I've never seen a year where there's been more quarterbacks, more good quarterback play.
Yeah.
Liberty's quarterback, Parkland's quarterback, Easton before Dura got hurt, very good quarterback play. Notre Dame, Green Pond. I mean, it's just been very, very good. Nazareth. I mean, I've never seen a year where there's been six, seven, eight quarterbacks who can take a team and win a football game.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Joe, your thoughts about the pro, college,
well,
and Scholastic High School?
I think pro and college, really, other than in the pros, other than the Patriots, there's no great team. There's a lot of good teams, no great team. Carolina has shown a lot because of the quarterback situation, but they play really good defense, too, and that's been what's, I think, led them to an undefeated season so far. But I don't think there's a lot of parity in the pros. Colleges, I think that's another example of a lot of parity. I don't see any great team. Like every year you can always pick, there's one or two that are really good. Clemson is picked number one. Now I've seen Clemson three times, and they have a really good football team. They have a really good quarterback, but not a super football team. But I don't think anybody's got a super football team, and I think that's the difference. As far as the high schools, my biggest thing that I've noticed, obviously the quarterback situation play has been great, but there's also some great running backs around the Valley this year. And nobody other than Parkland and Freedom and Easton, nobody plays really good defense. I don't know what has happened to defenses in high school football, but I have never seen it this
bad. We had a shutout at the Freedom Liberty game for
never,
a quarter.
No, that, I've never seen it. Yeah. Chris, I'm serious. I've never seen it this bad. Mike,
it might.
You?
Well, the defense, it seems probably a little bit more, you can go both ways. The offenses have become so on the line of scrimmage complex, calling things from the line of scrimmage, and everybody's kind of adapted that zone read type thing from the college level, that these teams come in so well prepared to score points. So you see so many teams, and you did a game the other day, 70 points, 80 points in a game. It's just ridiculous. But these defenses just seem to not be able to catch up. It'll come full circle, but it's going to take a long time.
I don't think they're spending a lot of time with defenses. Mm. I think what it is in high school, you got a lot of kids that go both ways. Everybody has kids that go both ways. So if you have kids going both ways and you're running these complex offenses that we're seeing now, those kids can't be on two ends of the field at the same time.
Right.
So I think there's a lot more time being given to offenses, less time given to defenses, and I think it's showing up.
And where do kids want to play? They want the ball. So kids want to be wide receivers and quarterbacks.
Well, I used to like to play defense.
There's a certain mold of kids that want to be linebackers and want it, but nobody wants to be a D lineman. Nobody wants to be those kids.
When you're putting videos together and you want to be on huddle, everyone's looking at offense.
Exactly,
that's what people look for. They look for the next level. How am I going to get to the next level? Who's going to find me?
Yeah. Was there a game that stood out during the regular season at any of those levels that you'll remember? I know the Liberty Central game.
The Liberty Central game's got to be. That one, and I think the Freedom overtime win against Easton sticks out in my mind. Yeah. Those two games were the two, and I know people say, oh, well, you're from Bethlehem. Sure. No, those were two of the really great games this year. I mean, if you like offense, you don't get them any better than that Liberty Central game. And if you like defense, you don't get them any better than that Freedom-Easton game. Those were the two.
And the Parkland-Liberty game was very good as well, but Liberty jumped out in front. Parkland kind of woke up and got their feet underneath them, came back, made it a ball game.
Ran out of time.
But that Freedom Easton game, if you like defense and you like guys great like game. Santos who can really hump the football and do things like that, that was a back-and-forth game, and you saw Easton stand up and then just at the end couldn't hold up.
I want to ask you about that Parkland team because I've seen them twice, and the last time I saw them was against Freedom. Right. Both times I've seen them, they've looked phenomenal from start to finish.
Right.
But I know you and Gary and Tony the other night were talking about in the Parkland-Emmaus game, the comment was made a couple times. I don't think Parkland came to play. I mean, are they woken up? I mean,
that happens with high school.
That's happened quite a few times, and a lot of people have said that about Parkland this year. So are they just waiting for the postseason, or what's the real story with Parkland?
They better not wait for the postseason because the teams are going to get better from here on out. They can't start slow like they did against Emmaus and like they did against Whitehall back in Liberty. I mean, these slow starts are going to really come up to bite them. The only thing about Parkland is they can do a number of different things with the football offensively. They can run it when they need to run it with DiGirolamo. They got a big offensive line. They can use Devontae Cross. But they can also throw the football with Yeboah on the outside and now the emergence of Bross along with Ridgeway and some of these other kids. So offensively, they have a number of different ways. You know, a few years ago, Cross didn't throw the ball as well. His eyes went down. He just ran the football, and then they just kind of moved the football with the running backs. But now the 98-yard run by DiGirolamo was amazing last week. And then Devontae can throw it through the air. They have a great red zone threat in Yeboah. So they can do it a number of different ways, which they couldn't. But the slow start, they get off to a slow start against St. Joe's and Wyoming Valley West and maybe whoever comes up to meet them.
Freedom.
You know, Freedom, it could come back to bite them. It really could.
I think the thing about Parkland that's noteworthy to me is they're the most balanced team. Mm. They can also play really good defense. They've got a front defensive front can play with anybody. They're big, they're physical, And you know, their kids, I mean, their secondary comes up and they will hit you.
And they have the best defensive coordinator, I believe, in the league with
Tim Osborne. There's no question about that.
Just can draw up anything at any time.
Yep.
He brings that college level of defense where he can stack the line of scrimmage, he can drop, he can bring pressures, he can bring zone pressures. He does a lot of different things. Very, very difficult.
And very
that.
Fundamental.
They very tackle, fundamental.
You know, they defend. I mean, they do all that. So I think that makes Parkland the most well-rounded, most balanced team of the big schools in the area.
Besides
no
that slow start, do you see a weakness on this team? Because they do have great balance. And Nolan Ridgeway, you were running off the players. He's a guy that hasn't been getting as much time. But, I mean, they're just loaded with depth. And guys like Ridgeway who can step up if people get hurt.
Their lack of depth in the secondary is a problem.
That,
where they ran into a problem versus Liberty was their safeties. They just couldn't cover the slot receivers for Liberty. They may have trouble with that down the road, but they're inside. Now, they've replaced a few guys. They've moved Imler as a new kid that's made some plays for them. They moved Bross in there. He's made some plays. But their two safeties really struggle in coverage. And then having Devontae Cross and Yeboah, the two of the tallest corners you'll ever see, even at the NFL level, 6'3 and 6'5, having those two on the outside, again, playing every play, you know, that could be a difference.
Factor. That's a big factor, too, Mike. You know, these kids you mentioned, they're all offensive players, too. So now you get into the crunch time, the best time of the year when you're playing the most difficult teams, and you've got 7, 8 of your starters on offense playing defense. It's going to wear, maybe not early on, but by the middle of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, sometimes that starts to wear on you. And if you're up against other teams, you come up against a team that's got some depth and has good athletes, it can affect
And they can play defense. We haven't mentioned guys like Noel Bross, Frank Guida. They have some players over there. Dallas plays great on defense. Palmer Kirch has been fantastic. So they have some players defensively as well. But you just don't want to have your offense always have to carry you. And that's been the case, I think, in a lot of games this year.
All right, let's get into the matchups as far as this weekend. And we're going to do a little impromptu poll that we did a couple weeks ago with Notre Dame and Saucon Valley. Had a great response. Vote for who do you think will win the Easton Freedom game. You can go on to our Twitter or Facebook page. Our handle is Sports Talk, T-H-U-R-S, or use the RCN Sports Talk hashtag. And then you can either vote for Easton football or Freedom. And again, we'll have results later on in the show. I'm sure we'll get a nice response because a lot of passionate fans of both Easton and Freedom.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be our live game. Mike will be at that game with Gary tomorrow night, live 7 o'clock on RCN TV. So, Mike, we'll start with you, your thoughts on Easton Freedom, and then we'll eventually get to your prediction for the game.
Well, I think it's going to be similar to the game that we saw a few weeks ago. I mean, Joe Young, I think, is finally healthy. The emergence of Santos, the running back, has been fantastic. They have guys that can make plays offensively. And then defensively, you have guys like Hornbaker and Brennan Reinert, who's played really, really well. Jason has done a fantastic job there. And now he's instilled the fact that they're over the hump. They can win games that are close, where they used to lose those football games. You know, we used to always talk about them winning the first 7 games of the season, and then all of a sudden they had to play Parkland, Liberty, and Easton. Yeah. So those are games they would lose. Well, you know what? They got over that hump this year. So Freedom's very formidable. They can score if Joe Young's healthy. They can do a lot of things. Don't forget about Cotto, the tight end. He's a big kid who rushes the passer on defense, can play from that. The thing with Easton right now is health. Are they healthy enough? Is Dura going to play? Probably not. I like Nima, the other quarterback, throws a beautiful ball. The question is he got to throw it to the right team? He threw 3 interceptions
in
that
game.
And
does he have receivers that are going to
And does he have some receivers that can do Trey Bailey, you know, those type of kids? But their running back seems to be kind of plug and play. Minigratz, is he going to be healthy? We heard maybe that he might not play. And Cottrell Thompson may not play. So, but you know what? You can't count Easton out. They do so many things well fundamentally. They tackle, they block, they play good, solid offense and defense that they're going to make it a football game. I just think Freedom has enough this year offensively and defensively to kind of pull out the same type of score.
Yeah, real telling point for me as far as Freedom has arrived? Their second score, they went for 2. Because the book says you just go for 1, you kick the extra point, you go up 14-0. And that's what we were all saying. And he came out and he said, we're just going to run the ball. We're going to stack our linemen up. We're just going to give it to Santos, who had a monster game last week against Liberty.
Wasn't that the one where they got the half the distance, though? It wasn't a ball on the 1-yard line?
No.
Somewhere in
You were
here.
Too busy choking me in the press box, which you shouldn't have even been there for that.
Well, they did. Somebody got a offsides or something on the extra point, and then they moved the ball halfway, and then they went for 2. I thought that was the play.
Well, remember, Houston scored on a fumble recovery as well. David Simmons, I believe, picked the football up on a fumble recovery and took that for a touchdown. Yep. So they have two excellent defensive ends. We have mentioned Delonie Caldwell and David Simmons. They are fantastic on the outside. And then you add Isaiah Walker in there in the middle. And Deemer. I mean, they can play some defense. So
Easton will always play defense. Easton plays. If you had one thing that you would say about Easton football, what would it be? Defense.
Defense.
Always it's defense. Yeah. And that's a great place to start if you want to be successful. I think Cotto, who you had mentioned earlier for Freedom, I think he's one of the best linemen in the league. Yes. I watched him. A lot this year, and I tell you what, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and I don't see many guys block him.
Yeah, he's made a big jump from year to year. He's gotten better. He used to be just a big body, but now he's a kid that can play on both sides.
And he moves.
He moves extremely well, and he's going to get a lot of looks, but he is a very good football player.
I agree. But I think Freedom is the one thing I would say this year is they've got 11 guys that get to the football. Mm-hmm. And I can't say that they did that before. Even last year when they were led by Callahan and the older young, I mean, they didn't have as many guys swarm to the ball like they do this year. Yeah. I think
they're feeding off each other. Yeah, you know what I mean? They're feeding. When the offense makes a good play and then the defense gets a turnover, they score instead of just going three and out. And don't forget Duncan's on the outside, a very good receiver. So they can do a lot of different things offensively.
And when you put get Santos in that backfield, I mean, he's a 5'9", 5'10", kid. He's 225 pounds, and he's a load. Yeah. I mean, he likes to run over people.
Yeah.
He's not going to look for an open area.
No.
So I saw him punish a lot of Liberty kids last week. I mean, tried to run over people.
Gary and I gave him the nickname of the minivan the bus.
Yeah, like the bus.
And he does, like Joe said, he does his best work late in the game on his 20th carry.
Stronger.
On his 23rd carry, his 25th carry. And that's, you saw that when he took it in to win the football game in overtime. He's just a strong back that'll wear you down.
Should be a great game. I think Freedom's going to win the game. I just think they're too well-rounded. And Easton is just too questionable offensively, especially if Minigrass doesn't play.
Absolutely. Mike, you agree? You're going with Easton?
Absolutely. I'm going to go with the Freedom. I'm going to go with Freedom.
Yes,
Freedom.
Okay, and again, you can vote on our Facebook or Twitter page, either at the handle Sports Talk, THURS, or hashtag RCN Sports Talk. Chris says I'm voting for Freedom all the way. Dan P. is saying Easton 24-14. Don't see as many turnovers from Nima now that he has some experience running the offense. So. Those are two comments. Feel free to vote. We'll have the results later in our program.
Don't see Easton scoring 24 points against them unless unless Gratz does play and he goes wild. And
the two times I've seen him, he's gone wild. And going for 469 last week. The first game of the season against Emmaus, he was phenomenal. If he's healthy and he can run, he can beat you by himself. He really can.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next game. That we'll also have this game on Saturday Night Live at 7 o'clock. Liberty versus Stroudsburg. And I'm going to make a statement here. You guys tell me where I'm wrong. I look at Liberty. They have the advantage in terms of quarterback. They have the better running back. They have better receiving core. They have better better offensive line. And they have more athletes on defense. Joe and Mike, tell me how this does not become a blowout.
Liberty shoots itself in the foot. They play undisciplined. If they get 7-8 penalties, if they're offsides, if they're getting motion penalties, things of that sort. And defensively, they don't tackle well, and so they got to rely on their offense outscoring people. Mm-hmm. And if their offense, because of their speed, Stroudsburg only saw one team this year that had that kind of speed, and they got crushed, and that was Bethlehem Catholic. So I think at Liberty's speed will be the difference, and it'll more than make up for the lack of tackling on defense. But I would not be shocked, because I've seen Stroudsburg over the years. They are the one team from up in that area that you do see occasionally come up
You'd
with an
effort. You'd be shocked
for
nuts. What? Finish that thought.
I wouldn't be shocked if Stroudsburg would not. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. But my brain tells me that Liberty should win the game. They've got too much speed to lose this
game.
You
covered your base there.
I know.
Liberty could blow them out. It could be a close game, and Stroudsburg
could
win.
No, I didn't say they could blow them out. I said Liberty's got enough speed that they should win the game. But it wouldn't shock me if Stroudsburg pulled an upset.
All right. We need a more concrete answer, Mike.
Okay. I just see the game being close early, and then I just see the speed like Joe talked about. Ernie's too good. I don't think Ernie will allow this team to lose this football game. I think he's that good. I've had a chance to watch him from his freshman year all the way through, and he just sometimes will this team to win. And you know, having some of the weapons that he has, you know, Darian Street. I mean, Darian's looking for a big ball game like he had against Parkland. Kersey, Santiago. These kids, they have a lot of team speed.
They got six different wide receivers.
Exactly.
Most teams would love
But the problem is they have to play some. And then Legree, who's, you know,
and
a young kid as
well.
He's going
to be back, I think, this week.
I hope he is.
I understand
he ran very well.
Yeah,
so.
Freshman.
Yeah. Strasburg's a good football team. They're going to come. They're going to punch you. They're going to play some defense. Jim Miller's a good coach. They do a nice job. But I just don't. I think as you see the second and third quarter pull away, you're going to see the fact that Liberty played much better teams this year than Strasburg did.
Strasburg's got a quarterback kid by the name of Jacobson. Jake Jacobson is a pretty good quarterback, not bad. But they have another kid, Marcelo Riccardi.
Yeah,
Riccardi is a pretty good receiver. He's got about 8 or 9 touchdowns.
Set
this
a school
year.
Record for touchdowns.
He's made a couple of great defensive
17,
plays.
As 17 touchdowns.
17 touchdowns. And he's made some big plays defensively. He's one of their best defensive backs. In fact, he had a big hit last week against Pleasant Valley, intercepted a ball and ran it in. So Riccardi is somebody you got to deal with. And, of course, they got Travis Hines as the other receiver. They got nice twin receivers that Jacobs can throw, too. This is not a typical Strasburg team that just tries to run over you. They're able to throw the ball a little bit.
Yeah, and going back to your first point was, as long as Liberty doesn't shoot themselves in the foot
that
8, 9, 10 penalty, two-turnover game.
And they have those
They should
games.
Win the football game. If they don't turn the football over and they limit the personal foul penalties and things that are going to take possessions away, and I've seen that so much in college football and in high school football, is teams start to move the football with this up-tempo offense. And then they get a hold, they get a personal foul, they get a late hit. It backs them up.
Sure.
And if they don't get that first down, it takes all the tempo out of that type of offense. So if they don't shoot themselves in the foot, they should win the football.
Liberty's had a lot of games this year, real quick. Liberty's had a lot of games this year where on a first down they've gotten 7-8 yards, but they had a procedure call or a holding call, and they end up with 2nd and 15, 2nd and 18.
It's hard to
overcome. That's when they get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, we're going to take a look at all the remaining 4A teams in the District 11 area and also look at 3A and 2A coming up. But right now, it's your chance to win our trivia game and our prize tonight. And a little wrinkle to our trivia game here. First a question, then a new rule just for tonight. The Chicago Bears lost just one NFL game back during the 1985 season, a magical time. Name the team that beat them and the stadium that game was played in. The great Chicago Bears 85 team had just one loss. Who did they lose to? And name the stadium where that game took place. We're looking for first-time callers or people that have never won before in the 10-plus years we've been on the air of RCN Sports Talk. So just for tonight, first-timers only can get a shot at our trivia game through the phone lines. And again, the question, the Chicago Bears lost to one team back in 85. We need the team they lost to and the stadium that the game was played in. Here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
And once again, a little tweak to the rules tonight. First-time callers only accepting calls for the trivia for people that have never won in the history of our RCN Sports Talk show over the last 10 years. You can call, make a question, and also you can vote online, or you can play the trivia through the email as well. All right, the question again, the Bears lost to just one team in 85. Name the team and the stadium. And then when we come back, we'll have more District 11 high school football previews. Right now, it is time for our DKN sports update from our friends down in the Washington, D.C. area.
This is the DKN Sports Minute. The 6-3 Dunbar Crimson Tide hosted the division-leading 8-1 Wilson Tigers. With a win, the Tigers would clinch the Stars division. Wilson flexes their muscle as number 5 Stephen Williams Jr. drops back, avoids the rush, breaks a few ankles, and takes it in for a 19-yard touchdown. Extra point, no good. Wilson up 6-0. On the ensuing kickoff, Dunbar returns the favor as number two Willie Thorne looks for a crease and then turns on the Jets for an 84-yard touchdown. Extra point good. Dunbar up 7-6. From there, it was all Wilson. Williams drops back and tosses a 63-yard bomb to number two Sean Savoy. Tigers run away with it 34-7. This has been your DKN Sports Minute.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Talking largely high school football on tonight's program, our special guest Mike Joseph, joining Joe Craig and myself. Joe claims to be the premier expert here at RCN when it comes to football. During our commercial breaks, now he'll pray God. I didn't say
rip,
that.
Rip.
What would you? Never mind. moving
right along.
We have the 4A teams. We're halfway through the District 11 bracket, and also I want to talk a little Eastern Conference football in just a minute. But first, we have a trivia question out there, and let's go to Bethlehem. It's First Timers Night here on RCN Sports Talk, and let's go to Liz. Liz, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Dallas Cowboys, Texas Stadium.
Looking for one team that beat the Bears back in 85. You said the Cowboys at Texas Stadium. That is incorrect, but a good guess.
Good try.
Okay. Thanks for playing, Liz. All right, let's get one more caller. John. John, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hello.
Yeah, John, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, I think the Bears lost that year to the Dolphins down at the Orange Bowl.
And there you go.
Right
very
on
good.
The button. Very good.
John, you got it. You're a first-time winner, right? Never won before?
Yeah, that's right, Chris.
All right. Well, glad you could get on board. Did you know that off the top of your head or get any help?
I knew they lost that year to the Dolphins. I just had to figure out where they played that year. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
And who was the Dolphins quarterback? A little bonus.
Was it probably Danny Marino?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Pitt graduate. So.
one of the greatest of all time.
Absolutely.
And Joe helped coach him, too, when he was
in
high school.
Oh, no, I never met him.
Yeah.
Not from Pittsburgh Central Catholic.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Good one. We'll get to you after the show.
Yep, John, right, thanks for playing.
So
we'll be
thanks,
back
John.
After the show.
Enjoy watching you. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. By the way, too, I want to mention this, too. When you email us, if you could include your town, just to give us an idea of where all of our viewers are coming from.
Yep.
And we try to tailor to those areas as much as possible, too. We'll get to some more emails, and we have that voting going on. Again, voting on our Facebook and Twitter page. Handle Sports Talk, THURS. Who do you think is going to win the Easton Freedom game tomorrow night? That game will be live on RCN TV at 7 o'clock. Nazareth is also playing tomorrow night against the number one seeded, undefeated Wyoming Valley West. I think Nazareth, who barely got into the district playoffs, if they can get their offense going, they can win this ball game. And I don't even think it would be that huge of an upset. But Joe and Mike, your thoughts on Nazareth and Wyoming Valley West tomorrow night?
I believe the same thing. When we first walked in the studio tonight, I think Nazareth is right there. They can score points with Dotson, Stefanik. They can do a lot of things. They have a terrific coach in Coach Falzone. So you can't count that team out right away just because Wyoming Valley West is number one. Now, you have to take into consideration, you know, the teams that Wyoming Valley West plays on a weekly basis and the teams that Nazareth plays. Nazareth's won some big ball games. They've lost some big ball games, but they have the talent. The question is, can they hold up defensively against a team? Probably it's going to run the football at them. What I've seen of Wyoming Valley West, some two tight ends, some one tight end, some two back offenses, 21 personnel, they're going to try to punch you a little bit. And I think they would be smart to do that against Nazareth, try to keep the ball away from that offense. So,
and there's years we see teams that are 10-0 and 9-1 come up against a District 11 team and get blown out of the water. I don't think that'll be the case at all. This is a legitimately good Wyoming Valley West team.
Well, they're always good. They're always physical because that's the type.
They're not always good.
Wyoming Valley West has been there now the last 8 or 9 years. They're pretty solid. But it's a very old school football style they play up in that area. You know, when you get to the Scrantons, the Wyoming Valley West, Del Valles, a lot of them, they run the football. They try to run over
you. Yes, they do.
And they don't play as many of the teams with the kind of speed that you see down here. And that's been their downfall when they come down and play these teams.
And they have a good quarterback.
Yeah, you were telling me about their quarterback.
Aaron Austin's put up 1,500 yards this year, 500 yards on the ground. He's put up 27 touchdowns, I think 21 through the air, six on the ground himself. He's very good. And they got the big tight end, Wisniewski, I think his name is, L.J. Wisniewski, who's a big target, and you're going to bet he's going to get some catches this weekend. I think he's got 31 on the season.
And that's the philosophy of your run setting up your pass. Mm-hmm. They probably have a high percentage of completions because of their running game.
Sure.
And they run a lot of two-back offenses running game, and it'll be fun to watch. But I think Liachi may be the unsung hero, the one guy that may be the guy that could win it for Nazareth. Liachi's the other receiver.
Yeah,
Dobson gets all the attention, but let me tell you, Liachi's got a lot of touchdowns this year,
and he
does a lot of good things. He's a tough kid. He runs a lot of those crossing routes, and he sneaks up underneath a lot of people, and he's dangerous.
For Nazareth, it's that short passing game by Stefanik.
Run with the ball.
It's not a drop-back passing type team, which we saw a few years ago with the outstanding offense that they had. It's get the ball outside to Liachi, you know, get the ball to Dotson, you know, get that little stutter step and go to Dotson in the red zone type thing. Yeah. But if you're going to ask Stefanik to drop back and throw the ball 15, 20, 30 times, it's just not what he's going to do. Yeah. It's that quick passing game, those long handoffs, those type of things that can move the football and move the chains.
And the game may get won really by some of the other supporting cast, guys like Brown and Sheptis and Skurdage.
Sure.
Those guys may be the difference. They're going to have to step up. And they're all defensive linemen and linebackers, defensive backs. Yeah. Those guys are going to have to shut down a little bit of that offense. But they've got the speed and the ability, I think, to score some points. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me to see them pull an upset.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why one team's ranked number one and the other's ranked number eight.
And Nazareth is a very good number eight.
Yeah.
They're a very good number eight. I don't think they belong any higher than eight here, but they're a very good number eight team, put it that way.
They beat Liberty, they're – they're not a bad football team, that's for sure.
All right, I don't think we're going to spend a lot of time on this because I think we would all agree. Parkland-Del Valle, this is probably the most lopsided game. Del Valle has had some very good years. I think this is like the fifth year in a row they're playing Parkland. Four of those five times they've played them in the district playoffs. Mm-hmm. But they're very young. They got everyone healthy. They got a couple wins late just to make the playoffs. They got a couple players. I don't think they even stay with Trojans for more than a quarter, right?
Yeah, I agree. They've got a kid by the name of Cavallaro that's decent. Cernick, a running back. Curto's another running back. They're going to run the football at you. They're going to try to run over you. You're not going to run over Parkland. Parkland's one of those teams that they've got that front seven, and you know that front line averages about 275.
Yep.
You're not going to run over them, and I think that'll be the big difference. And I don't see how Del Valle's going to stop Cross on the outside and a 6'6 receiver in your bow. I don't see that.
No, I don't think they have the weapons to match up with a team like Parkland. They don't have the quarterback they had a few years ago that went a Division I quarterback.
Yeah, and they did. He was really good.
He was a very good player. Went, I think, to a MAC conference team. But they don't have those weapons anymore.
No.
And the way we said, Parkland can score in so many different ways.
Yeah.
If they get down 7-0, they're going to pump the football at you with DiGirolamo and Worth, and they're going to use Cross on the read, and they're going to get the ball outside. They get so many different ways.
If they're ready to play.
I have a feeling this weekend that Coach Morgans and Coach Montsman will get them ready to play. Having Coach Terwilliger on that staff, I think, helps a little bit because he may know a little bit more about a team like this.
Jimmy's not with them now, but he went up to East Drowsy. But they picked up the former head coach at Wilson that happened to go to the two-state championship.
Brett Kampf.
Brett Kampf is coach and quarterback. So they didn't lose much there.
No, not at all.
But they've got Frankie Lane, former head coach.
Yeah.
They got like five former head coaches on the staff. You know, so you can tell they're a well.
How do you think Del Valle feels though? Always drawing the short staff. You get the staff, and all of a sudden you got Parkland again. I mean, they played them probably four or five times in the last 7-8 years.
If I was one of those Del Valles or Wyoming Valley West teams, I would take every independent game I have and I would schedule somebody from down in this area if possible.
Yes,
that's what I would do.
Right.
And if it wouldn't be our league,
that's what they used to do. They used to play Parkland when Parkland had a non-conference game.
But now you can't get against these Eastern Pennsylvania. But I would sure pick as many somebody from District 1. Try to pay those kind of quality teams to get you ready for this sub-region.
Yeah, you need that.
By the way, we also have a prediction. Andy Weaver, a good friend up in Nazareth, predicting the Eagles 42-28 over Wyoming Valley West.
That could be a pretty good guess.
I want to spend a minute or two on a team that really surprised me this year. Emmaus, they're playing the Eastern Conference.
Well,
I think
picked them early on.
I think they're the favorite here in Eastern Conference. They're probably going to win another Eastern Conference this year. Emmaus is a team. They brought in a quarterback who came and transferred in with some very high credentials. They have a lot of speed, wide receiver. Just about the entire offensive and defensive line that improved as last year went on last year. Can I finish my sentence, Mr.
Yes,
moderator?
Of course.
They had an improving offensive defensive line coming into this year, last year. And on top of that, they had Kyle Boney. How did they not make the playoffs this year? I'm really surprised that they did not do. I know they struggled early. They had some tough teams early, but that was the biggest.
I think you're overrating how good they really were, to be honest with you. I think they have some quality kids. But let's face it, as Boney goes, that's how they're going to go. And if he gets these big offensive games, they're going to be hard to stop. Yeah. They're going to eat up the clock, and they're going to run two plays to everyone everybody else runs if he's being effective. And that offensive line has to block for him. But I think you overrated their overall
They played
ability.
Parkland pretty tough, though. Yeah. I mean, they hung in
they,
there.
They did.
They hung in there with Parkland.
They did. But I think that's been their problem. But Boney's the story. I mean, if he plays like he's capable of playing – they'll win the game.
Yeah, he's a good football player.
Yeah,
and they're big up front. I mean, the first game we did was Easton, and we thought we were going to have the game of the year, but you know, Easton just jumped on him so early. The punt return, three runs for 180 yards by Minnie Gratz in the first half. They just jumped on him so early. But you know, like you said, Emmaus is big up front, and if they get Boney going, they're a team that plays well from ahead. Mm-hmm. If they get ahead, because Schaefer struggles, honestly, he's getting better, but he struggles to throw the football. So if they get ahead of you and can really pound Boney.
Eat the clock.
Absolutely.
That's their key.
Yeah.
And with Easton, speed kills. Yep. And that's what killed them. Yep. They couldn't maintain it.
Absolutely.
All right. It's thumbs up, thumbs down time. It's where our panelists and I all identify an individual or group in the sports world for doing something extraordinarily well or for something not so good. I'll lead off and go a thumbs down to the Flyers. They made some moves I thought were very good in the offseason. However, they're 5-7. They have just 13 points going into tonight's game, and they're ranked 27th in the power play, something they usually, even when they were so-so mediocre in years past, they were usually good in power plays. Just a very disappointing start to the Flyers, and they better turn it around soon. I think Flyers fans, very passionate. They've been quiet. They've been patient. I think if they don't make the playoffs for 2 years in a row, they're not going to be too happy. Joe?
Thumbs up to Lindsay Knupp, our friend from the Iron Pigs. Lindsay is Vice President of Marketing and Entertainment for the Iron Pigs. She was just presented an award yesterday from the Rawlings Woman Executive of the Year for all of minor league baseball. That's a lot of teams and a lot of executives. Congratulations to Lindsay.
Pride of Northampton High School.
Outstanding woman. And nice person.
Yeah. Mike, would you like to give a thumbs up or thumbs down?
A thumbs down to the Dallas Cowboys. How can you have Greg Hardy on your football team?
That's a big one. Yeah.
I mean, that could be a whole show.
Yes.
But a quick thumbs down for that. It just doesn't make any sense how they can have him on their team and paid him $13 million last year and he didn't play a football game for him. And one quick thumbs up to the Moravian-Muhlenberg football game. I got to mention that. Moravian, Jeff Puckson having a great season. And this year, it means a lot for both teams.
Yep.
All right, when we come back, we'll take a look at the 3A and 2A standings, plus the roundtable, in which we mix in some regional and national topics, all coming up on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special guests are Mike Joseph, who's made an executive decision here. We have breaking news.
Oh, boy.
I heard you say this.
Gary's
going to
jump
on. We would like to announce that Joe Craig will be joining the A crew from now on. And you guys on Thursday nights, you take about 24 hours. You go off in the Caribbean on a cruise somewhere, prepare for the game. So you will take Joe Craig with you, and you'll add him to the broadcast.
Gary's been on enough cruises. I know that.
Yeah, Gary, he's the man.
But that's what you guys do when you prepare on the A crew,
that's
right?
That's true.
That's what I've been
heard. Absolutely.
So
we take the whole crowd.
All right. So, Joe, this will be your last show then. You won't be here next week?
Jeez.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike.
I will not be here next week. You're right.
I am indebted to you beyond belief, Mike. So thank you for doing that. And make sure you tell Gary ahead of time because he's not going to be too happy about this at all. All right, before we get to the roundtable, we've got to talk about 3A and 2A teams. Real quick, Lehighton is the number one team. They're a decent team. However, they're probably going to win over Blue Mountain easily this Saturday. But Saucon Valley, Becca, whoever wins that game, I've been saying, I said it in August, I said it in September, and I said it last week. Joe said you... that I'm full baloney. Saucon Valley has been waiting since last year for another crack at Bethlehem Catholic. I think it's going to be a great game. Why are you anti-Saucon Valley, Joe?
Why do you always cause trouble?
Because you said be careful what you wish for. Becca's the stronger team. Becca's going to win the game.
Becca is the stronger team. They're the faster team. Well, they play a different type of football. I'm not saying Saucon Valley. Saucon Valley's a great team. One of the best teams, by the way, I've seen come out of the Colonial League in years. And if they could, if a team could beat Becca from the Colonial League, that's the team that could, because they have the ingredients.
You don't think they will.
They've got Evan Culver, one of the best running backs in the area. Mm-hmm. They've got Zach Thatcher, a really good quarterback who can also run with the football.
Yes.
And they've got a very good defense, and they've got some big kids on the front, both offensively and defensively. They're a good football team. Becca is on another level from anything they've played against. And I'm not saying that it's an automatic. I'm just saying that Becca would be the favorite. And I think they'd be the favorite probably by maybe two touchdowns. However, things can happen. Becca is certainly vulnerable. They showed that against Liberty. And I don't think Saucon Valley is going to beat them, but I think it'll be a pretty good football game. But I think Becca will win. I think their speed will be the difference.
I believe just Becca has too many weapons. Antoine Keenan and Spigner, they just have too many weapons overall. And like Joe talked about, they average about 250 across the offensive line. If you look at Saucon Valley, obviously Evan Culver, terrific, 1,970 yards rushing this year. Thatcher, a very good quarterback. What I like about Thatcher is 10 touchdown passes, only 4 interceptions. He knows how to protect the football. He can also run with the football. But they have, if I'm right, a smaller interior line. Their center's about 200.
Yes.
Their right guard's about 205, maybe even less than that. They're big on the edges, on the tackle positions. But I just think, again, Becca has too much Diaz and too much Spigner. They're just too athletic.
Yeah.
And you know what? If Becca gets on you, they'll run it.
Oh, yeah.
They can go. They can really put up some points.
And real quick, too, I think it was a nice move by Central Catholic. They're in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I think they're the favorites in 3A. A couple years ago, they declined an invitation to play in the Eastern Conference game. I think it's going to be a nice springboard. Central Catholic's going to be playing in the North Division next year.
Right.
So they'll probably have an easier road to get into the district playoffs. So I think playing in this Eastern Conference playoffs, getting some experience, possibly winning it, I think they're the favorites. It was a good move by Central Catholic.
And Bethlehem Catholic's only loss, I think, came to
Liberty. 35-34.
Yeah, I mean, really, really close. And they beat Stroudsburg.
Yep, and
they
crushed them.
Crushed them, 49-14, I think the score was. So they put a lick on a 4A team who's now, you know, is going in the playoffs as well.
Who's 8-1. 9-1.
9-1.
And in the 2A bracket, Notre Dame is playing North Schuylkill. North Schuylkill has had some good teams in the past, not so this year. Mm-hmm. I think Notre Dame wins that game easily. Yeah. And then the big one is going to be Northwestern versus Salisbury. Both of those teams have a shot in Notre Dame, but how do you guys
Salisbury run the football, Harry Hall and company. They're going to run the ball like crazy. Yeah. However,
Harry Hall leads the district among active running backs.
Wouldn't
in District
doubt
11.
That
doesn't
one
get
bit.
Much attention.
Salisbury, though, has Nick Sikora, Trevon Weber. Is their quarterback. He can throw and run.
Yes.
They're a very good football team, Salisbury, and they're playing well right now. This will be a pretty good football game. But I think Northwestern's a little too much defense and better rounded team. But they're going to run the football, and they're going to try to run it down their throat.
Yeah, but do you see Notre Dame coming away with a win? Since you won't be here anymore. I meant next week. Since you won't be here anymore, are you going to say Notre Dame?
Yeah, Notre Dame is not going to get beat in the AA.
All right, you heard it from Joe. Right now, time for the roundtable part of the RCN Sports Talk Show. The roundtable is where we mix in some regional and national topics, looking for an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions between our panelists. You can weigh in as well through the phone lines, or tweet us, or text us, or give us an email. Topic number one, two intriguing football teams to watch coming up in November, any level, high school, the college level, or the professional level. Mike, we'll start with you. Two intriguing football teams to watch over the next month.
The teams you probably haven't seen a lot of, this Oklahoma State team I mentioned. This Oklahoma State team in the Big Ten can probably win out, the Big 12. If they win out, they're going to be one of those top four teams playing for it. Not a lot of people know about that. If you haven't seen them, watch them. They are a fantastic football team. And you got to watch how far the Trojans can go, Parkland. You got to see how far. Can they get past that call last year at St. Joe's, which cost them, I think, the football game. So those are my two.
And you were still saying before the show that's the worst call you've ever seen.
The worst call I've ever seen in high school football game.
All right. Joe?
Well, I'll go with college, too, but I'm going to pick Clemson. I think Clemson's a team you better watch. They've got an outstanding quarterback, I think one of the best I've seen this year. And again, you know me with names, Chris. I can't remember my own half the time. But he's outstanding. He runs the football really well and very hard to bring down. Big, strong guy. And in high school football, I think a team to watch is Notre Dame. I think a team that's going to go from 0-10 last year to at least the second round in the state tournament.
All right. Topic number two, Eagles or Redskins, who will win more games over the next 4 weeks? And for the Eagles, they have Miami, Tampa, Detroit, all winnable games before they play New England. The Redskins have the Saints, Panthers, Giants, and Cowboys, probably with Tony Romo back, although you don't know if they'll have anything to play for at that point. Mike, we'll start with you.
Well, just look at the schedule. I mean, you know, the Eagles have the Bucs and the Lions, and they run into the Pats 4 weeks from now.
Yeah.
But I think the Eagles by far have the easier schedule, and I think their offense is finally starting to click. They're getting that feel. They get on top of teams. They make it tough for defenses to play against them because of the tempo. I think the Eagles are going to win a couple in a row.
All right, Joe, who's going to win more games? Eagles, Redskins, or Sixers?
Don't the, go Eagles, there. The Eagles will win more games than the Redskins, only because of the schedule. I mean, what else are you going
to
say?
I thought you'd hop on for a chance to rip the Sixers, since you don't like the tanking
No,
philosophy.
We didn't get to that part. We're going to talk about them later.
No, we're not. Topic number three. Where do you see the Sixers anywhere
right
in the script?
Topic seven. That's what my
answer
is.
Oh, you're going to put them in there. Yeah. Oh, okay. Topic number three, two high school regular season MVPs. Who were two MVPs you saw during the high school season? And looking into your crystal ball, who will be the playoff MVPs in a couple weeks? Joe, we'll start with you.
I think Devontae Cross for the regular season at quarterback. And again, let me preface this. There are a lot of guys you could have picked. We've had a lot of outstanding football players. Devontae Cross from Parkland, the quarterback. And I think from Saucon Valley, Evan Culver. For their teams, without those two players, those two teams don't win the games they're winning.
No,
and
absolutely
who's
not.
Your future MVP?
Future MVPs, surprises, Joe Young, quarterback from Freedom. I think he's got the ability to get them into the semifinal against probably Parkland. And I think Julian Spigner from Becca. I expect Becca to do decently in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mike?
I also like Devontae Cross. I think he's been fantastic. Although DiGirolamo at Parkland's very close second as well. And then I also think in the future, I like Trey Jordan. I mean, Trey Jordan has done such a good job. Over 3,000 yards of offense. I mean, he is phenomenal. He's my future star.
All right. We have our votes coming in. Again, your final chance to vote. We'll have the final results coming up in just a little bit. You can go to our Facebook page or on Twitter, the handle is Sports Talk, T-H-U-R-S, or hashtag RCN Sports Talk. Also want to give a plug for the Dream Come True Telethon that's coming up on Monday, December 9th at 6 p.m. right here, live on RCN TV. And you can get on right now. Online auction is underway. You can go to the website listed on your screen there and bid on your favorite items. A lot of great items on display here. All of this to benefit the Dream Come True organization. So get online, go bid on some items, and then tune in for the Dream Come True Telethon coming up Monday, December 9th, starting at 6 p.m.
December 7th.
December 6th. December 7th, starting at 6 p.m. Thank you very much, Joe. And we'll be back with our final segment in just a moment.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. You can also send us possible show topics and future guest suggestions by emailing chris.michael@rcn.net. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. That number again, 1-844-234-4488. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast. We'll be right back. listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest, Mike Joseph, football analyst with RCN, joining Joe Craig and myself, who is joining the A crew. So he will not be here next week. Thanks again, Mike.
Does Gary know this?
I appreciate you risking your life to make it
announcement. Gary's probably Gary's at home going like this.
He turned the show off already.
By the way, our final votes as of now, we have over 50 people participating in the poll. Who will win between Easton and Freedom by a 3-1 margin? Easton will beat Freedom. Guys, you do not agree with that, though.
No.
No. All right. Topic number four for our roundtable: who will be the last District 11 team standing? We have districts and sub-regionals for the next couple weeks, and then full state playoffs 3 weeks from today, and then that's when you start losing local teams. Mike, we'll start with you. Who will be the last team standing from the District 11?
You know, I gotta say the Trojans are going to be there. I just think they have too much talent this year. They've tasted it last year. They went far. I don't think the teams that they're going to play coming up are as good, maybe. The St. Joe's, the LaSalle's. It's almost a little bit of a down year for some of those teams. Now, there's some strong teams out there, but I think it may be maybe their year to go as far as they can go. I don't see a state championship, but I see them moving forward further than anybody else.
And District 1's not as strong as it's
No.
Been.
Because the people in District 1 were saying this is the year Parkland might.
This is an off year for down here.
All right, Joe, would you like to participate?
I would say Parkland also, and I think as a backup, I think that Notre Dame could win go into the second round of states.
Yep. What about Becca?
Outside shot. There's some good teams up in AAA. There's some awfully good teams up in the northern
region.
Yes, there
are. All right, topic number five, our yes-no question.
Heck no.
And this is interesting because the NCAA puts the schedule usually years in advance. They have not confirmed the basketball schedule after 2018 because, as you're seeing now, a lot of the non-conference games are colliding with college football, and they're not getting the attention that they think they should deserve.
Right.
So there's a thought that they could start the college basketball season 3 to 4 weeks later and push March Madness back to April. Good idea or bad idea, Mike?
Well, it's a bad idea, but I think they're going to do it. I just think they need to extend. They want to extend it out, and they, you know, that I wish they'd do more in February because February is the most boring month for sports. There's just nothing going, unless it's an Olympic year. There's just nothing going on. But I think it'll happen. I don't like it. I would rather have it stay in March. It's something to look forward to when the weather's cold, to stay inside, watch those games. It's a fantastic time of year, but I think it's eventually going to happen.
All right. Now, Joe, you admit, when I first raised this to you, you said there's absolutely no way in heck this is going to happen.
No, I don't think it will, and let me give you the reason why. There are too many preliminary tournaments and things that are held that are big time. I'm talking about from mid-November to Christmas. There's a lot of things there, and I don't see them affecting all of those things with moving the season back 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. I just don't see that happening.
All right. My thanks to Mike Joseph and Joe Craig for being here. Joe, nice knowing you. Welcome.
I'll see you in two weeks.
Enjoy yourself.
No, we're not going to be here in 2 weeks. We're going to be off for Thanksgiving. Make sure you check out all the games this weekend.
Right.
We have Freedom Easton live Friday night at 7. Yep. Parkland Del Valle to follow. Saturday, Becca Saucon Valley will be live in the afternoon. Liberty Stroudsburg will be the live game tomorrow night. And we'll be back next Thursday live starting at 7 p.m. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.